Well, Dan really likes wine. This week, a very special guest who is both right at home and also quite far from home, which is almost how I feel when I'm here at Element House, because although my own home is a little way from here, it's somewhere where I've always felt at home when I've come to stay, and I've been lucky enough to do so quite often. And the experience is enhanced by many things, but chief amongst them, the quality of the wine and the people who give it to me. And it's one of those people who is my guest. This is his home, or at least his place of work, but he's also quite at home on the other side of the world, because originally it is Chile that he calls home, and you've probably worked out who he is by now if you know your wine in Cape Town. Manuel Cabello, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, yeah.
Would I say Manuel Cabello or Manuel Cabello?
Actually, Joe Cabello is the right pronunciation for it, but I mean, I got so used to it.
The double L's.
To the English sort of pronunciation as Cabello all the time, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll stick with Manny, which is, I think, how everybody in the wine industry now knows you. And they know you because you've become this iconic figure in Cape Town circles, in Cape Town wine. But the original story certainly doesn't start in Cape Town. Instead, a very different part of the world. How did a young Manuel discover wine and start on the journey to where you are today?
Well, that came from the family. You know, I grew up very close to Casablanca Valley, which is in the central of Chile, Santiago, Viña del Mar. So my town that I grew up with, Viña del Mar, literally 15 minutes away from Casablanca, famous for Sauvignon Blancs and cooler climate, put it that way. You know, the Andes, you make everything much cooler that side. So yeah, wine was always on the table. No snobby at all. It was just wine, either red or white. Vino blanco, vino tinto, as we call it, or we used to call it. You know, only at like probably 20 years ago, we started really focus on cultivars and put the cultivars on the bottle. But yeah, I started that way. My grandfather had a restaurant, more than a restaurant, was a bar. Food just that was excuse just to get the license, but wine was and the spirit was pretty much was going there. So I grew up in the house that was the restaurant, and I used to play in the basement of this sort of restaurant machine cashiers, and I got very much into it. I wanted to be in a restaurant industry, but that's how I started in Chile, in a more sort of like a basic way of wine drinking, and then the rest just evolved when I went overseas and I was exposed to a much bigger sort of offering of wine. Yeah.
My early encounters with Chilean wine were sadly the encounters that I think many have had, which is drinking wine in England, which would have emerged from one of the lower supermarket shelves, and generally just not getting anywhere close to the very best of Chile, the stuff that's sitting at £1.50, £2 at the bottom end of the Tesco offering. Yeah. And we have had similar challenges with South African wine over the years. The best of Chilean wine is something that's a lot different to that.
Correct. No, I guess that like any country, you know, is they do export quite a bit. You find Chilean wines pretty much everywhere in different categories. And even I find myself wines overseas that I never heard of, you know, coming from Chile. So, yeah, it's true. I guess, South Africa is pretty much the same. You know, the best wines are very good. I mean, we got one of the Chilean wines got best wine in Wine Spectator, number one last year, Don Melchor, which is a Carnet, quite famous from Maipo Valley. So when it comes to top wines, we make good stuff right there, like Alma Viva, or you know, some partnership with Rothschild's. But also the landscape in Chile is changing quite a bit, moving more to the south, finding cooler climates and more volcanic soils. Very much similar journey of South Africa. Yeah? The energy that is happening there is very similar to what is happening here, which is if we go back 10 years ago, you know, with South Africa. It's changed quite a bit in the last decade, too.
So a last one on Chilean wine before the journey continues. If I were to head over, and I have done before, I have had one visit to Chile and I'm hoping to do more. But if someone's going over for the first time, what for you would define a Chilean wine experience? What would you be looking out for to get your equivalent of a Stellenbosch Cab and a Swartland Chenin and a Hemelinada Pinot Noir? What are the hallmarks for you of great Chilean wine expression?
I think if you go to Chile, you gotta try Carmenere. Carmenere is it happened to be by accident our signature grape. We didn't know until probably 20 plus years ago that he was actually coming here. We thought it was Merlot, until somebody was, this is actually coming here, and you don't find it anywhere. One of the original Bordeaux cultivars, similar to what Malbec happened in Argentina. So coming here is something very special to drink. So it's like coming here, I don't try Pinotage, you know, or don't try a good Chenin. But it's more. I mean, it's a cultivar called Pais as well, which is pretty much used. It's similar to what Cinsault is was here. Cinsault being looked like a little bit down and being a generic wine, and Pais, when it's made serious, can be very good wines. So I will go for that. Definitely reds more than whites. Even though I make good Sauvignon Blancs, but I would say for Carmenere, some good Carmenere, and why not try some Pais, which is you're not going to find anywhere else in any way. Yeah.
So a list of great wine attractions. I have made note. I shall be putting them on my list, all of which suggests, well, you've got plenty of reason to stay in Chile if you've got all of this great wine. Why on earth leave? But of course you did leave. What was it that sent you out into the world and eventually got you onto the cruise ship that became the catalyst for bringing you into South Africa?
Yeah, well, to make it short, I'd left in 2000, and I basically just wanted to travel. You know, I wanted to excuse just to travel, and that time I was a bartender, and I really enjoyed it, being behind the bar. So I did that for many years, probably 7 years, between bar and bar managers, etc. Eventually, I discovered wine, and I went into that knowledge, and I joined another company with much sort of a higher standard, and I was a sommelier. Was then when I met my wife, which was also working at that time. She's South African. And then since we started dating, I started coming to South Africa on holidays, and I spent a month here for probably 4 years. Month here every year. We do the same at home in Chile. And when we decided to settle, it was just a very easy decision to make, you know.
How did your first impressions of South Africa contrast with what you might have been expecting?
Well, you know, I mean, it's like you think Africa is a completely different ball game, and you come here and it's pretty much European everywhere. She used to take me to all the places that it was, everyone was more beautiful than the other, you know, with amazing sort of offering. I was like, okay, cool. Next time, I just want to go to the real South Africa. Don't take me to the fancy places, you know. I was like, no, this is the real South Africa. This is the way it is. You know, it can be. I mean, it can be so perfect, you know. So it was very easy. It took me like 4 years just to come to Table Mountain because I wasn't interested. I wasn't to go from wineland to wineland, based in Wellington in that time and going all the places around. When we decided to move, it was just... But in that time, that thing you mentioned, is I realized the energy that the industry was going through. And probably that's what decided for me. It was a big decision for me to stay here because I thought, wow, coming from Europe in that time and tasting amazing wines, you know, I see the potential that South Africa had, and it wasn't really explode. The world didn't know about it, you know, especially Swanland, which is, you think about 10 years ago, was not much going on from there, you know, and I thought that I wanted to be part of the explosion, if we call it that.
Yeah. So you fell in love with a South African, and then you fell in love with South African wine.
Correct.
And the combination, right, well, I've fallen in love with South Africa.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And as I said, like I thought it was just something that's going to happen. You can hear like I grew up in Chile with a lot of earthquake, you know, when you see the underground is shaking, something's coming, you know, and I thought the same feeling here, is something happening here, and I would like to be part of it somehow, you know.
So bang, you arrive in South Africa. How much wine knowledge around South Africa did you have when you touched down here?
Fairly enough. Obviously, on the big scale of the well known of his regions, but actually wasn't hard to understand the landscaping of everything and the roads and the climate conditions. It was actually very simple to put it together, you know, to kind of identify, okay, see, I come from that side, so this is what I'm looking for. Cooler climate, okay, I look for my Sauvignon Blanc that side. So, yeah, but obviously it was a lot of underlayers, things that you discover with time, and it's still, I mean, it's many days that I see wines that I don't even know. I mean, it's too much, you know, that's the fun thing about a sommelier, you know, go and find those sort of gems that people don't know. And that's the big sort of joy of this profession, you know. But yeah, fairly enough. But I mean, again, it changed completely in the last decade, you know, and it keeps changing. So
fast forward that journey of discovery, you now find yourself at Element House. 95% of the guests at Element House are from abroad. They arrive. If you're staying at Element House, you have to have a certain amount of money. It's an experience that people will pay for. And that means you can probably afford to buy kind of anyone you want in the world, really. And you'll have people who are used to drinking Petrus with a spaghetti bolognese on a Tuesday night at home. Yeah, let's bring out the Romani Conti with the margarita. And yet they're not finding any of that here. Yes, there'll be the odd bottle of Dom Perignon. There's a touch of French champagne. I think I've spotted one or two Sancerres in the dark corner of the cellar. But other than that, it is an entirely South African cellar. And so you are able to, and for me, it's one of the great tributes to Element House and to Paul Harris's vision, to give the guests who come here a taste of the very best of South African wine, and by extension, discover that quite simply, it is some of the very best wine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a privilege to do that, you know, have the possibility to be able to manage or to curate our collections and the point that I took over, that can really express the best that South Africa has to offer in wine. So we are the custodians of many, many, many labels, you know. We put it away and release it when it's only time to we think is ready to go. Yeah, to have that sort of a playground, and yes, I mean, it makes total sense. Guests come to South Africa, want to drink South African wines. You're not going to go to Italy and ask for Bordeaux the other way around, you know. And if you do have the quality, I mean, it makes it much easier. I mean, we've got amazing wines. So, yeah, it's been amazing. Yeah, go to guests and just basically listen to what they like and bring something that most of the time they feel like, wow, they can't believe it, you know. Introduction to something that they didn't know, you know, and they leave completely amazed by what we do, yeah.
Of the many wines that will have blown them away in the stays of guests across the years, will have been the one that you've opened for me today. And I was fascinated to see what you'd come up with when I said, bring me something that has personal appeal, that's got a story that for you just has a real resonance. And you brought out as famous a wine as South Africa can lay claim to, the sweet wine of Constantia, wine that's popped up in literature from Jane Austen in years ago to one of my more modern favorites, 50 Shades of Grey. It's a wine that is been celebrated by Napoleon and is now celebrated by Manuel and Dan in the library at Element House. I'm going to reach over for my glass because it does look lovely.
It makes sense.
And while I appraise it, tell me why this bottle of the 8,500 or so you could have picked from the Element House cellar.
You know, it really means a lot. Once, obviously, studying sommelier, you're studying the regions of the world, and South Africa was just one part of it, not the biggest part of this. Of, you know, we focus on Bordeaux and Italian, but Constantia is a big region. This is where everything started in wines in South Africa. So automatically moving to South Africa, the first thing you want to know, you want to visit is Constantia, right? Just to see where everything started, you know. And it's a wine which is not, as you mentioned, so all over the world is Vigne Constance. So moving to South Africa, I also knew that I wanted to live close to Constantia because that's the first thing I knew. I knew Constantia before I knew my wife, you know. So I wanted to live close to it, which I do stay close to the valley. And this one in particular, I get to know the people behind the brand nowadays. I land here in 2012. I got married in 2012. The current winemaker, Matty Day's first vintage was 2012, which has changed pretty much the style of the wine. So basically, just to celebrate nexus between, you know, myself, I guess, and Vigne Constance, yeah.
You are a celebrated sommelier, as well as arguably Chile's greatest ever export. Many people won't be watching this, other than my mum probably. Hey, mum, how are you? They'll be listening to this in the gym or in the car or while they're getting dinner ready. And so I'm going to press upon you for your skills as a sommelier Bring this glass to life for the people who are listening. What, when you close your eyes and you feel this wash over your palate, what does this elicit? What magic does this Matthew Day creation create in you from Clan Constantia?
Well, first of all, I like to take away the word dessert wine because it's a wine.
It's a terrible word.
Yeah. And
we need to change that. Because I know. It makes people perception. Think of diabetes and sugar and it also makes it so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
There's so much more to it.
I think you have
to
create, just a podcast, you have to take that away, perception from people. Dessert wine is not such a thing. It is a wine. Yeah, it's a bit more sweet than the rest, but this one in particular has freshness. I don't care what wine, as long as freshness and has tension and elegance, I'm in, you know? So, yeah, this one in particular, just to put away, it's not just to be drunk after dinner or after lunch. Yeah, I can be drinking in the afternoon. It has a lot of freshness, but at the same time, it has this beautiful honey texture that warms you. You know, you can feel it going down, but it's nice. It's pleasant. It's just slowly going down with amazing sort of stone fruits, apricots, Turkish delight. It's just everything that you can dream when you are too addicted to sugar and wine at the same time. I can do. In terms of food, I mean, it can go with anything, to be quite frankly.
The making of this always amazes me and inspires me because there is a considerable amount of sugar, but the acid in the wine mm-hmm. that affects a balance that then allows you to, yes, pick up sweetness, mm-hmm. but there are so many other levels and so much more subtlety to the wine than just one big blast of sugar.
100%. No, again, it's the freshness and the acidity and the carefully of picking those grapes and treat it. You know, I was there on Sunday, actually. On Saturday. I was there. Every time I go there, it amazes me. The attention to details that goes into and the passion about this beautiful expression.
We have in the glass, and I'm very grateful to you for sharing this with me, one of the most extraordinary adverts for the greatness of South African wine. And I think we've made some important steps forward in getting other people to understand that South African wine, like Chilean wine, does not belong exclusively on the bottom shelf. There is a place for it, and there always will be, because there is wine for a certain budget and a certain palate, but there is wine that deserves to be very much on the top shelf. This is one of them. You encounter and interact with people every day from all over the world, people who have the capacity to buy cases of the great South African wine and take them back to wherever they are. What do we need to do more of to get more people to understand that the Van der Constance is just one of the great South African wine stories and that there is so much more for people around the world to explore, to appreciate, and for the South African industry buy in vast numbers?
I think not just the Van der Constance, in general, for any wine from South Africa. Certainly we got guests that are very passionate. There's people that stay here share the same value of what we enjoy. Name it art, wine, landscaping, hospitality. You know, that's our pillars. In terms of Van der Constance itself, I think people want to taste it. You know, remember, we as a child, the first addiction that we had was always sugar. So if it's a wine that you're always going to like, it's a little bit of sweet wine. It's a reason for it. I mean, in fact, I always start my dinner sometimes with this instead of a bubbly. I think it's just open every sense. Imagine with a foie gras or some liver parfait. But I know, I think it's when people taste it, you know, and they see the value of what you're getting. You know, you start thinking about Chateau de Cam or Rousseau or any of those big ones. You know, there's no brain. It's no brain. And our guests generally go to, not just to Clan Constantia, they go to Waterford or to the big states. And, they chop. They go back home, you know, full of wine because, you know, it's just the value of what we offer, you know. And I think we could charge actually much more for it. But
Don't tell the locals.
But they leave it that way because I also want to be here to form my wines.
As do I. Last question on this wine, which is drinking so delightfully, the pairing thereof. It's a key demand of the sommelier. What wine will bring out the best in my dish and vice versa. My leaning with a wine like this, you've already mentioned some foie gras, some liver parfait. I always feel that the savory dish is the better option. I'll often do this with some cheese or something that's a little subtler, but also doesn't have sugar on both sides of the seesaw and gives a little bit of a counterpoint to this wine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's also you gotta take in consideration the weight of the wine, you know. So personally, I do like this with a bit of Malay flavors to it, you know. If you have a bit of a bite to it, even to it, chili, just to get out of the box, you know. Pairings is not, it's not a set stone that has to be the same all the time, you know. Taking risk when it comes to pairing, I think it is a more reward when actually work and you can't really know why it works, you know. So, but you're right. I mean, the safe option is obviously a great cheese, maybe semi-dry, you know, aged with a bit of a nuttiness to it. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. With bread, never with cracker, with bread.
All right, I think we almost need to cut this off right now and go and find ourselves some cheese because you've got me very peckish. But I do want to find out from you as we've now got to a stage of having had our wine, we've looked back at the career where you've come to, where you've settled very happily. What about going forward? You've been doing this for a fair while now. Is there still the spark of excitement as you open a new bottle of wine, the genuine delight in finding a new vintage or finding a wine you'd never heard of? Does that curiosity ever die?
Yeah, interesting, actually. When I started at Edelman House in that time as a sommelier full, I say I'm going to do this for 5 years at Edelman House, right? And you know, this property can take you and you get more involved and connected with it, you know, the projects that come along, you know. And yes, I wear many hats. And I love to empower other people to do well and to take the next journey. Like I say, for me, Asian Wines and Inland House has been always with the idea to somebody else is going to open in 10 years' time. I didn't bought for me to open it the next day. Always buy with the idea that somebody else is going to open it in 10 years' time. So the decision that I'm making today, very, very good in a decade from now. And now is the time. Somebody else needs to open the wine and create that same sort of idea and do it for the next person in another decade. So you here, you will meet some of the team, George, Solani, etc., guys that are doing a great job. So they will take Edelman House from the wine side, you know, which obviously I will assist what I can, you know. But that's inspiring me a lot to see other people growing at this stage. I wear other hats. I'm moving myself a little bit away from the food and beverages a little bit and moving more into operation, which is my role currently for like 6 years, actually, believe it or not. So a little more admin, looking at the big picture, you know, of the property, but strategizing, etc. But you know, this is my passion. Always gonna be. I find myself always in the vineyards somehow when I'm off and dealing with getting. Never lose the connection with the industry, but at the same time, I really enjoy seeing people growing and step a little bit behind the scenes and do give that support and a bit of experience that I guess I got.
Food and wine will always be at your heart, though. I know this well, and everyone who knows you will know this. And so I will leave you on a related question with your passion for wine in particular. The cellar at Edelman House is extraordinary. It now sits alongside Curate, the new restaurant that is up and running to grand acclaim. It is, I think, 8,500 odd bottles. It's a terrific selection. If there were just one that you could take from that selection and run off with, you've given us some Van der Constance, which is beautiful, but I know there's so much else there, and you had to pick a wine from out of there and say, right, all the others are gone. This is the one that's just for me. What would that be?
Well, That's very difficult. You know, one bottle won't be enough. You know what I mean? It's only four glasses. So let's, you know, but personally, yeah, wow, it's such a tough question. And I don't want to be the obvious, you know, but I love Semillon. It's a grape that actually has so much to give. It's generally not either fashion enough. People tend to go to other grapes for. So a good Semillon around 2000, you know, well aged, that you can really sit down and really enjoy, sip it, you know, I think that would be my option. And it would be completely out of the box because you would probably go for the brands, etc. So
I love that choice, both because Semillon is a grape that slowly but surely more people are starting to discover the charm of here in South Africa. Mm. And you've gone with something that's aged with white wine. We still have a lot of people to convince in South Africa that that's something we need to do. So I love that answer, but it also shows just why you're held in such regard in terms of the wine brain, and why we are very grateful to Chile for exporting you to us to add to our wine community. Zamani, thank you not just for joining me on the show, but for many wonderful glasses over the years, and I have no doubt many more to come.
For sure, for sure. This is your house. And yeah, absolutely. Always a pleasure to have you here and enjoy a good conversation.
There we go. Señor Manuel Cabello, who's just Manny if you're in South African wine circles. Technically, he runs operations at Alleman House, but he's a sommelier at heart. He's got an extraordinary palate. He's got a wonderful love of South African wine, and he's been a great champion of so many for so many years, and I suspect for many more to come. My guest this week on Dan Really Likes Wine, the Chilean king of all things in a great glass, Manny Cabello.